Good evening and welcome to the programme Feeding the 85,000. I'm Alex Watton.
I think we do very well as self-sustaining at the moment. We could do a lot better.
What we have here on the island as far as food is not enough to sustain the local population.
Are we self-sufficient in food? And the reality is, yes, we are.
We are at a very low point with the Manx fishing industry.
Farming is a difficult business.
It's stress that we don't need financially. Times are hard.
How can the Isle of Man sustain itself and how realistic is it? Not something day-to-day we have to worry about, with imports and exports a cornerstone of the island's trade economy. Despite that, it's something that comes much more into focus when the island, not unusually, is hit by bad weather. We've experienced a number of major named storms. We've had Kira, Dennis and Jorge. True to form, what follows is a series of cancelled sailings and flights, then the empty shelves in the major supermarkets. But does it have to be that way? That's what I've been trying to find out.
That is a question people pose to me. Are we self-sufficient in food? And the reality is, yes, we are.
I spoke to the Food and Agriculture Minister, Geoffrey Boot.
And if you look at the product lines that are available, particularly the staples like bread, milk and meat, yes, we could survive. We'd have to sort of shave our choice down a little bit, and there would be some things that wouldn't perhaps taste quite as nice. But even down to garlic flavouring, we've got plenty of wild garlic and garlics produced on island. We have a great range of vegetables, and the vegetable growers would step up to the mark if we couldn't import. So yes, we could. We are basically self-sufficient.
But for how long? Because of course we don't have that demand at the moment, so a number of businesses surely wouldn't have enough stock to be sustainable in the long term.
Well, if you look at meat, take that as an example, we export around 60 or 70% of the meat we produce. So if we stopped exporting, we would have plenty of meat on island. Milk products, we are self-sufficient as it is. There is a little bit of imported milk, but we are self-sufficient. Vegetable, there would be a shortfall for a while, but we, as I said earlier, the growers could step up to the mark. Some of the things like fish, scallops, and we've got plenty of those, and we export most of what we produce. So we have plenty of local produce. The range of produce and the tastes available would probably be slightly smaller. We wouldn't get our bananas and our oranges and things like that. But the reality is we could manage without those. And I can't foresee a situation where we're not going to get food for a long period of time, but it is useful to note that we can, if we need, step up to the mark as a nation state.
Well, how practical is it for our local vegetable growers to, as Geoffrey Boot says, step up to the mark? Allinson's farm in Jerby produces many of the vegetables we see in island shops. I spoke to Stuart Allinson.
There's plenty of seeds. We're in good.
How self-sustaining are we as an island, and how much more could we be, perhaps?
I think we do very well as self-sustaining at the moment. We could do a lot better. You know, I think we need a bit more support from the local public to buy local.
Do you not think that message is already, you know, it's everywhere, isn't it?
The message is everywhere. And the bit where it really tells is when the boat doesn't sail and you see the shelves in the shops are empty of produce that we could produce here.
Why don't you think we are producing it here then? Is it complacency?
No, I don't think it is complacency. It's very difficult to compete on price, which the customer is very conscious of. You know, we're on a relatively small scale on the island here, and a lot of the goods that we see brought in by UK-based supermarkets are actually subsidised to get here. The cost of the transport is borne by the Northwest stores coming to the Isle of Man, not just the one Isle of Man store, and we have to compete with that.
We normally dig with this tractor and harvester you see behind, and we were needing three tractors, so two towing that to get it to move. We gave up on that, we were making too much mess, and then we changed to the elevator digger.
What could farmers be doing then to increase the options for local people or increase the willingness to pay that bit more?
I think we have to engage with the public better. We have to do a better job of marketing.
And you said before as well, you work very closely with other farms. There's quite a lot of crossover in the farming community. Could you do something in terms of community engagement that way?
Yeah, I think we can, and I think we do. Perhaps we need to do more. I think as an industry, we work well with the Farmers Union, who help us and support us through that, you know, when we work together collectively with these aims.
In terms of a competitive market, though, is there anything that could be done to improve your position so that, as you said before, if the ferry doesn't come, then we're better placed to deal with that?
It may come more in time. If the weather stays as unpredictable as this, if the boats sail less, people will turn more to buying local.
Some smaller businesses on the island, though, have told us long-term sustainability is no problem at all. Closely's farm shop and cafe on the Patrick Road has been running now for just over a year. One of the owners is Tracy Ridgway.
We are 100% Manx in the shop and as much Manx as we can in the cafe. So all the meat is either from our own farm or farmers that we know. And we also source all our fish from the local fishermen.
Is the whole local focus what draws people in, do you think?
I think, yes, people want quality, they want to know provenance, they want to know that they're supporting the local economy, and, yeah, people like buying Manx.
So much we do rely on. If there's a couple of sailings that don't go, suddenly people have to start being a bit more creative, perhaps, about where they get their food. Could this be where you step in, or do people do that already?
I think people do that already. They already buy local. But of course, when the supermarket shelves are empty, we're the only people that have got stock shelves. Our meat all comes from just across the road, so there is no transport issues. We're here, rain or sun.
What about demand issues?
We're fully stocked with gin, so we can batten down the hatches and have our chorizo and gin.
My name is Sylvain Demoulin, and I've been working on Closely's farm for the last past few months. I'm French.
You've travelled all over, is that right?
Yes, well, so I worked in Ireland for about 8 to 9 years. Worked between London, Swindon and Manchester in the UK for the last past 5-6 years. And I've worked on the continent a few years as well, obviously. Learned a lot of different stuff.
So coming to the Isle of Man and working with mostly Manx produce, how does that compare to what you've been doing before?
There's not really much difference, really. As long as everything is actually locally produced and brought to the site, there's not really many difference.
Do you think it's important to use local ingredients?
Oh, yeah, well, ideally, yes. For instance, like the crab I used. And the beauty of the thing is that we actually do our own salami, chorizo, and so on and so forth, our own eggs. It does help a lot in terms of freshness of the produce and all of that.
From DEFA to a major vegetable supplier to a small business capitalising on that local supply, and now to you, what can people do on a personal and practical basis? Tanya Anderson runs an allotment and Lovely Greens, which offers guidance, recipes and tips on how to live naturally and grow your own where possible.
What we have here on the island as far as food is not enough to sustain the local population. Most people get their food from across via Tesco or Co-op or another food source. But we do have local producers here. And I go every Saturday to the Ramsey Farmers Market and I pick up my goat milk, my goat feta. I pick up vegetables from Dot. And I would love to see a lot more people support our local producers, because it's times like now that we realize that we can have our Manx eggs, we can have our Manx meat and produce and everything. And we could have a lot more of it if we supported it more regularly rather than just at these times.
And should we be thinking, I mean, I know it's something you've done personally, but should we be thinking about the way we use our own land and live our own life? Should we be trying to grow, for example, even in our kitchens, you know, our own herbs and spices?
I think it's a lovely idea, But I'm a realist, and I know that not everyone wants to grow a garden and to grow their own. And that's why supporting local is so much more important. You can grow a few herbs, you can grow a small veg patch, but to really make that happen, you have to be really dedicated to it. It's not easy to grow a vegetable garden, but it is easy to go down to the farmers' markets and support local whenever you can.
You're listening to Feeding the 85,000, discovering how able the Isle of Man is to sustain itself. We've talked vegetables and we've talked weather and sailings, but what about the meat industry, a big one on the Isle of Man?
We talk about the ferry not sailing for people for food generally, but for it obviously affects the farming world as well.
Kiri Kermode from Orrisdale Farm and known for Manx Radio's Countryside programme says the cancelled sailings can also have an adverse effect on feeding livestock sufficiently.
The livestock require feed as well at this time of year because the grass doesn't grow. You know, it's very winter, it's very cold, so everything's on shutdown. So with the ferry not sailing, it is a touchy time for people to buy concentrates and extra feedstuffs for their animals too, and obviously a real worry. But we were saying how great the winter has been up until this point with Simon on Countryside. So now it's come, February is always a tricky month.
Is that something, because of course the weather is so volatile, that you prepare for in the industry?
Yeah, the industry is quite resilient like that. They do expect bad weather. It happens naturally in winter. But on the Isle of Man, we are lucky that we don't get the severity like we have across the water in Shropshire with flooding, snow in Yorkshire. You know, we don't get them severe changes, so we are a little bit luckier. But farmers do prepare naturally for bad times. But you've just got to see every year is so different, isn't it?
So just go back slightly on the fact that the grass growth is such a big issue. And of course, when you're using substitutes for your animals, the sailings then being cancelled can cause you some big problems.
Yeah, very much so. A lot of farmers this time of year will bring cows in particular into the building. So they'll have prepared the food throughout the year, collecting grass from any time from May right through to September. And this year it has been very good. So many people have quite good stocks of feed. But this time of year, many sheep may be outside. They'll be getting extra feed from hay and supplementary, basically, licks, which are molasses, sugars, energies, multivitamins and minerals, because sheep are due to start lambing sort of March, April time, and the resources from the lambs inside are starting to pull on her. So with the grass going back, the fodder isn't readily available, so you have to supplement with extra feedstuffs in the form of sugars to keep the balance right with her. So as much as we like to see lots of hours of daylight, and it is getting longer in the day for grass growth, the cold is really swiping it away, and it does make it a little bit more tricky for the animals to graze properly.
You mentioned the lambing as well, which I wanted to touch upon, because obviously that's a difficult time anyway to get all the right nutrients. But does the cold affect them as well?
Oh, absolutely. The sheep will store back fat throughout of the winter, and when it's cold like this, they will use their reserves to keep themselves warm and ultimately feed their offspring that's growing inside them. The cold for store lambs, if people are looking to market their lambs now, they may drop a little bit leaner, just providing that energy for themselves to keep warm rather than storing it. This time last year it was quite glorious, there's plenty of grass and it was quite warm. So, you know, no 2 years are the same, but you have to govern accordingly for the, you know, what can potentially happen, I suppose.
Chair of the Isle of Man meat plant is Tim Baker, MHK, for Eyre and Michael.
Farming is a difficult business. People don't necessarily often appreciate how many factors come into farming and indeed, of course, to everything that's connected to the agricultural supply chain. So the challenges that we've had with the weather, both in terms of affecting the environment for animals, but also the ability to both bring feed, etc., onto the island and also ship end products off the island as well, is it all adds to the difficult challenge that farmers have.
When there is a bout of bad weather, Kiri Kermode was saying how actually we've had a pretty good weather when it's come to livestock until the last sort of 4 weeks. How do you feel when you hear the storms coming in or cold weather's coming in? Is it worrying for you with your meat plant hat on?
From a meat plant point of view, we've got our forward bookings secured, and so in terms of the volume coming through the plant, we're okay. What it may do is affect the finish of the animals, so they might weigh a little bit less than they would otherwise have done, or be in slightly poorer condition. Where it does bring a challenge, of course, is when we're exporting the finished product. So we've got typically three wagons a week going across into the UK to feed our UK-based customers. So, you know, if the boat doesn't sail, then our container of meat going out to our customers is affected, and we've obviously got to manage that with our strategic sales partner Northgate Foods and through to our customer base. So that's the biggest challenge.
So you said, is it three wagons, did you say?
Yeah.
So what proportion of your overall production in a week is that?
So we have, in financial terms, roughly 70% of our product from the plant is being sold into the UK, and around 30% on the island. We're actively building the local customer base, and of course you'd be familiar with the Tesco relationship, which was restarted relatively recently. But we're working with all our customers, butchers, wholesalers, retailers on the island to try and sell more on island. But you know, we're a net exporter, particularly of lamb, but also of beef, and we need to have both markets performing strongly.
The factors which impact farming across the island go beyond demand and weather issues. Figures have recently been released showing the number of attacks on sheep by dogs in the Isle of Man over the last couple of years. 91 have been killed and a further 21 injured in such circumstances, according to data put out following a Freedom of Information request. Anna Carouche, who farms sheep at Mackold, has lost some in attacks before and says it has a real impact.
We've had a number of cases over the years, and it would actually be interesting to know how many farmers haven't had cases. We've had sheep killed on fields over this way, and those dogs, they were caught and dealt with. We've also had up on the mountain ground, we at one point had pointers loose up there for 3 days, and they killed a number of sheep while they were missing in that time. It's just such a big area that nobody knew where they'd gone, but they were returned to their owner there. Yeah.
It's called sheep worrying, but how much of a worry is it for you as the farmer?
It's very distressing. We spend so much time looking after them, doing the best we can, and when those dogs come on and terrorise the sheep, it's stress that we don't need. Financially, times are hard, and we want every sheep to have the best chance.
We've heard that 91 have been killed in the last 2 years as various cases of attacks from dogs,
yeah.
and a further 21 injured.
Yeah.
Does that sound about right to you?
I would guess so, yeah. It seems that they often come out in pairs, like the ones in Sulby lately, and they get like a pack behaviour then, and they'll go off and do some damage. And if you're lucky, it might just be one sheep. In a bad case, it might be 10 or 12 or more, so it's a big concern.
The regulations from DEFA regarding sheep worrying are as follows. It says anyone whose dog or who has responsibility for a dog which is caught worrying or is proven to have been worrying sheep could be subject to a fine of up to £2,500, and the dog could be seized. In order to protect their livestock, a farmer may, if he catches a dog in the act of worrying sheep, kill or injure that dog without fear of facing a claim for damages from the dog's owner. A major sector which has undoubtedly taken a hit with the stormy weather is the island's fishing fleet. The Manx fishing industry is at a very low point, according to the CEO of the Fish Producers Organisation. David Beard says the particularly bad weather has meant catches are only a third of what they should be at this point in the season. He adds that on the good weather days, the daily quota restrictions from the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture means fishers can't capitalise on the opportunities.
We are at a very low point with the Manx fishing industry. At the moment, we face the difficulty that we have a low daily catch limit, and also we have the challenge of the weather. DEFA can't do anything about the weather, and nor can the fishermen. But the reality is, the economic reality is that at the moment the crews are really struggling. The daily catch limit also means that the number of crew that they can afford to employ on board are low. It's really only a skipper and one crew now. And also they've nearly all reduced the number of dredges that they fish with to enable the two people on board to be able to cope with the fishing conditions. So there have been major changes that have happened in the last year in particular. And unfortunately the weather's hit us at the time when we're at a low point. I think that once we get to the stage where we can discuss raising the daily catch limit, which, and we have a meeting planned for early March, then I think perhaps there is a solid case for increasing the day catch limit, because there is no way we're going to meet the total allowable catch for the whole season. We've only caught 35% at the moment after 4 months, and we have only 3 months of the season left to go. So there is plenty of room for movement in terms of the daily catch limit. So I would hope that if the Scallop Management Board, which has industry members on it, gives a recommendation that the daily catch limit should increase, that I would hope we would get a positive response from DEFA. I mean, all of this has to be stock related, and we don't want to do anything to damage the stock, but you know, we're not going to meet the total allowable catch purely because of the weather this year, and also because there's less visiting boats as well. The number of boats, average number of boats that are fishing per week, has dropped drastically in the last 2 years, and that's nearly all down to less UK boats coming here, and that will be down to the daily catch limit having reduced over the last couple of years.
Catching 35% so far, lower than it certainly was last year, if not years before that as well. What kind of impact is that having?
We're at the lowest point we can be. We have some boats which are tied up now because they can't afford to run their business. We've had a number of boats that have been sold as well. So we are left with a reduced fleet. Just hope that fleet is healthy enough that when the predicted increase in stocks occurs, which I believe will happen the next year or two, that we have enough Manx boats around to be able to fish what's available.
Craig Woodbridge is a skipper based out of Peel who says the situation is serious.
We've had bad spells of weather in the past and all, but we've always been able to claw it back, if you like. You know, when the weather does settle, we've always been able to go out and have, you know, two or three decent weeks or whatever, and all of a sudden the bad weeks are forgotten about. But with catch restrictions, and as far as myself goes, it's with Western Waters and all, day restrictions, where we're limited to how many days we can fish, it's days lost. You know, once that day's gone, you can't claw that back. You know, if you don't get it, it's gone.
How much money are you losing? Are you losing money?
Yes, definitely. It's more not being able to make it back. You know, when the weather's settled and everything's good, in a perfect world, the quota system, you know, the catch restrictions work. It keeps it steady all the way through, but you can't allow for a month of southwest gales. You know, you can't allow for that at all. And if the weather was lovely all the time and the boats were getting out and they'd get their bags and go home early and life would be rosy, but at the minute, with the way the weather is, I just feel that when the weather does start to settle, which it will, they should seriously be looking at increasing this catch limit so that the boats can make a little bit of it back, if not all of it, because at the end of the day, boats, you know, they break down all the other, they need maintained. You know, it's an aging fleet around the island. A lot of the boats are 20 years old plus, some of them as old as 50 plus, and they do need maintaining. And without that extra bit of profit, you just can't do it. The boats are declining, the fleet is getting old, and it's not good for the industry, because to look around the fleet now, there's no young fishermen coming in either, because there's no incentive. You know, I got into the job. I loved it. I couldn't wait to go to sea in the morning. Now, you look around and it's the same faces. There's no youth coming into the job because there's just no incentive there.
The Food and Agriculture Minister, Geoffrey Boot.
I think they were able to fish for just 13 days in January. We expect storms, but I think this year is pretty unprecedented. In terms of when they're able to go to sea and what they catch, well, we monitor catches, and there is a daily catch limit of 560 kilograms, and we put that up in the pre-Christmas period when scallop prices increase to 630 to help them. But the reality of the situation is, on average, around 50% of the vessels don't even catch the limit they're allowed to catch. So it's a bit of a misnomer. I mean, there may be some vessels that could catch a bit more, but at the end of the day, we are trying to manage the stock as well, which is at a fairly low ebb at the moment. So this was the limit that was agreed with the Scallop Board. So that's where we are.
The figure, incidentally, David Beard gave to me, that was on the days that, on good weather days when they have been able to get out, it's 95% of the catch that they have mostly been able to get. Do you think they could be slightly off put by the fact that they know the restrictions are in place, so they are fishing to suit that. They are not overfishing as the, as they've been told not to.
Well, I can't say that, but having looked at the figures that I've been given for the last week, which is not very representative, it seems to me that there is a lot more than that and not catching the daily limit. The season goes on till May, and if there is evidence, we will look at it. I mean, we don't want to stop fishermen catching fish unless it's going to damage the fish stocks going forward into the next season.
How else can you potentially help some of these people? Because despite the fact that conversations are going to go ahead and potentially that daily quota could rise to help out some of these people, it's not going to be enough to catch up with the 3 months that are actually left in the season, is it?
Well, hopefully the weather will get better. And if we look at the total allowable catch, they're a long way off that at the moment. And I suspect there will be a review and the daily limit may well be increased. I can't preempt what the Scallop Board will advise when it meets. That will enable perhaps some catching up to happen. And I hope that happens in that way. But it's a fact, sadly, that stock levels have fallen quite dramatically over the last few years. And I think everyone acknowledges we've got to try and get to a situation where we are sustainable and we don't take everything and find that there is nothing left for the future.
Thank you for listening to Feeding the 85,000, a brief look at the island's key agricultural industries, the difficulties the weather can present, and the resourcefulness and resilience of our islanders. If you'd like to listen again, you can head to the Manx Radio website right now, where you can find this programme available on demand as a podcast. For now, though, have a very good evening.